Thank you for listening to the New Hope Christian Church podcast for the weekend of September 24, 2023. Please go to our website, newhopechristianchurch.net, for resources, events, and information about the church. This week's sermon is titled Core Values, Spiritual Growth, by guest pastor Ben Woods.
Good morning, New Hope. Hey, I wanted to read some scripture here because we're morning people, and God's going to speak to us. His mercies are new every morning. Psalm 40, it says, I waited patiently for the Lord. He heard me and heard my cry. He lifted me out of the mud and mire and set my feet on a rock. He gave me a firm place to stand. This morning, he put a new song in my mouth. We're going to be changing up the service just a little bit, and we're going to be now diving in our time of communion. We've been going through a series called Our Core Values. The first week we looked at biblical authority, and that's what we stand on. If God's word says it, then we believe it, and that's the authority. God's word is our moral compass. Last week we looked up on the next one here, that there's hope in Jesus, and that wherever we go, we share the hope in Jesus, and we can find the hope in Jesus. The value that we're looking at now, our core values of who we are, the DNA of our church, today is spiritual growth. And we want you to grow more every day in the Lord Jesus Christ, becoming more like Christ. And this is the prayer that Paul said in Philippians chapter 3. He says, I want to know Christ.
You see, he wants spiritual growth. I want to know Christ and experience the mighty power that raised him from the dead. It says, I want to suffer with him, sharing in his death, so that one way or another, I will experience the resurrection from the dead. Remember growing up in, going to church back in the 70s, 80s, and 90s. Back then, we would sing a communion hymn right before we had communion, and the deacon would come up and says, let's prepare our hearts as we sing number 342 in the garden, and that type of a thought. But that's what I wanted to do today is just prepare our hearts and pray that we can have spiritual growth. We want to focus in on Christ. So symbolically, before we open, just look at the emblems. And what I wanted to do is just sing or just say the words of the hymn that we're going to be singing next and focus in on the resurrection and the sacrifice of Jesus. So it's just time to slow down and just let the words speak to you, and then we're going to sing the words to him. I'm not going to say all the verses, but verse 1 says this, in Christ alone my hope is found. He is my light, he's my strength, and he's my song. This cornerstone, this solid ground, firm through the fiercest drought and storm. What heights of love, what depths of peace, when fears are stilled, when striving cease. Jesus, today you're my comforter, you're my all in all. Here in the love of Christ, I stand. Another verse says, in Christ alone who took on flesh. Let's take a moment and symbolically look at the emblems now. He took on flesh. Fullness of God and helpless babe. This gift of love and righteousness scorned by the ones he came to save. Till on that cross as Jesus died. Let's all gaze over here at the empty cross. Till on that cross, as Jesus died, the wrath of God was satisfied. For every sin on him was laid on the cross. Here in death of Christ, now I can live. And then it says, no guilt in life, no fear in death. This is the power of Christ in me, the hope of glory. From life's first cry and final breath, Jesus commands my destiny. No power in hell, no scheme of man can ever pluck me from his hand till he returns and calls me home. Here in the power of Christ, I stand. Jesus, thank you for the power of the cross. Thank you for these emblems. We want to know you more and experience, as Paul wrote, the mighty power that raised you from the dead. Let's all sing that hymn together. Christ alone. the top portion. This represents his broken body as he hung on the cross to absorb our sins and take it upon himself. And the juice represents the spilled blood on the cross, the sacrifice he gave. The wrath of God was satisfied, and for every sin on him was laid. Here in the death of Christ, I celebrate the resurrection now through this symbolic movement of communion. Here's the death of Christ. Now I live. Let's partake together.
Sir, I don't move as quickly as I used to. I'm sorry. Thanks. Thanks for killing some time there for me. Hey, we are privileged this weekend to have Ben Woods preaching for us. This is the third time, I think, right, that Ben has been here. And hopefully, Lord willing, it will not be the last time. When Ben preaches, he does so with passion and comes to us personally, sharing from his own stories. And it's very, very practical. And so, Ben, we are pleased to have you here with us this weekend. He shared Friday night at the men's gathering. And he has, I know it's going to be hard to believe, but he started out in a rock band, okay? True, right? I'm not lying. Today, he and his wife, Crystal, they have three children, have started a ministry called The Brave Way Home. And he does church consulting, business consulting, speaks in schools, at churches. So let's give him a New Hope welcome. Come on up, Ben.
Love you. I know, and everybody's thinking, well, that explains the hair. Oh, my goodness. I'm so grateful to be back here in Marshalltown with the New Hope family. It does my heart good to see all of your smiling faces. I've been looking forward to hanging with you guys. What a privilege to be back a third time, literally. Good heavens, I can't believe you guys aren't sick of me yet, right? And some of you are like, oh, we are. Trust me, right? And some of you are thinking like, well, okay, you're the guy with the hair. So, I'm back. So, but the rest of you may be like, well, I don't remember it all anyway, but I agree you need a haircut. So we can be all in this together. But yes, my name is Ben. That's where we're going to start. And I am glad and I'm grateful to be here with the New Hope family this morning. Really quickly, just a little bit of like what Carrie shared, a little bit about me, my wife Crystal and I together, we lead a discipleship ministry called The Brave Way Home, aimed at calling and equipping fellow wayfarers, fellow believers to deeper living, a deeper faith with eyes fixed on Jesus and hearts set on heaven. We want to see heavenly thinking invade earthly living, just like the songs we were singing, right? We want to see heavenly thinking transform our earthly living. We want to seize every moment that we are given to point every heart to the saving grace of Jesus Christ. And it's because we are completely convinced that when Jesus is at the helm of our hearts, our perspective changes. And when we live life with an eternal perspective, Jesus alongside the Holy Spirit goes to work in our hearts, transforming the way that we live, the way that we love, the way that we lead in the here and now. And so let me tell you, I am like a golden doodle that has been put in the basement and company has just come over and I've been let out. So I am so excited, okay? Like we are deeply passionate about discipleship and we are deeply invested in helping others, no matter where they're at, follow Jesus faithfully and fruitfully and humbly so that they would be prepared to navigate all of the ups and downs that are in this life, remembering that this is not all there is, that you would walk through this life as citizens of heaven, that you are sojourners, you are pilgrims passing through, willing to wayfare whatever wilderness is in this world with your eyes fixed on Jesus and your heart set on where he sits now. So that's what we do, okay? That's what I get to be a part of. And oh my goodness, it is just a joy to be here with you guys, specifically on a weekend where you are leaning into your core values, the things that shape the life of the church, the things that shape the life of this church. And I love this series. This is so valuable to lean into core values. Like, you're digging deep on these things, and you're pronouncing loudly, very loudly, the core values of who you are as the New Hope family. And I love this. It's just in the conversations we've been having, like, these are not just the values that you hope to emulate. These are not just the values that you aspire to. Like, these are the values that tell the story of who you already are. These are the values that you are already expressing faithfully. This is the set of values that you naturally embody. Like, this is the fruit of your fellowship, okay? I was sitting right up here. I could hear all of you singing because the speakers are going right past me and I'm not in the back of the room. I get to hear all your voices. Like, this is the fruit of your fellowship. This tells the story of where and how God is working in your church family. And so the language I often use when I talk about core values, it's like, this is the why behind your what, okay? We got a lot of whats in our life. We aren't so sure about our whys a lot of times. This is what drives your culture. This is what shapes the expression of your faith, not just within these walls, but beyond. And so these are the things that cultivated all that. Like, just like Frank said, this is your DNA. This is who you are, this is how you live, and this is what the New Hope family is known for. And for me, I geek out about this stuff because I'm passionate about it. So I'm just grateful that I get to tag in this weekend on the core value of spiritual growth. And so, Carrie, thank you for your trust in letting me be in front of this church family and sharing with you guys on such a unique and such a valuable and important sermon series. I know in the last couple of weeks, you guys have been leaning into and unpacking biblical authority and how pertinent it is that we have a posture of recognizing that, but also how vital it is that we have a hope in Jesus. And so today, we're just going to dive headlong into the core value of spiritual growth. And you have already probably heard me say this a couple times. This is something I absolutely love to lean into. When it was asked to, like, come this weekend, they were like, which one do you want to do? I'm like, oh, I would love to do them all, but I can't. So, like, this is one. This just captures so much of the work and the ministry of what I get to be a part of with the Brave Way Home, helping others walk faithfully and pronounce loudly this DNA that has been placed in them, the who you are. And I love how each week what you guys have done is you have collectively together as a church family, you've said out loud the core value, the language that brings definition to what you mean when you say these things on the banners. And so I would love it if we just did the same thing now. I think we got the words to go on the screen here. It might be in your handout, but I just want to read this and let's say this together. As followers of Jesus, we will mature in our spiritual life through worship, fellowship, and service, becoming more like Christ through the application of his word and sharing Jesus' love. Oh my goodness, doesn't that just make you want your heart race just saying that out loud? Like, I'm the one who's saying, oh my goodness, that is so powerful. Because when we all add our voices to the family, we naturally are going to be the ones that hold each other accountable in the way that we live that out, in the way that we follow Jesus, because following Jesus leads to becoming more like Jesus. And that maturity on your journey, in your journey with Jesus, it is expressed through the way that we worship. Because worship is not something we schedule, right? It's something we live. It's not just something we sing. It's something we live. It will be expressed in the way that you gather, in the way that you fellowship, in the way that you serve one another, in the way that you allow the biblical authority of God's word to shape your obedience, and the way that you choose to love all the people that God places right in front of you. And so as we dive in, I want us to just start with bringing some definition to what spiritual growth is, with the hopes of just sharing with you guys some truths about spiritual growth that I think can help us recognize that it is something that is to continue. We want sustaining growth. We want flourishing, continued growth. And so I want to talk about some of that stuff this morning. In the same way that we want to see every other one of these core values sustain and flourish and continue and grow, we want to see that in spiritual growth. So what even is spiritual growth? If you've taken notes this morning, here's the definition I want to give us. Spiritual growth is the process of becoming more and more like Christ. It's the process of becoming, okay? We oftentimes talk a lot about, like, what do you want to be when you grow up? It doesn't matter so much what you want to be when you grow up. It matters who you are becoming as you grow up, right? So this is about the process of becoming more and more like Christ. It is the work of the Holy Spirit in the lives of those who yield their lives to follow Jesus. And that work will continue right up until it will not be finished, until Jesus calls you home or he comes back for all of us on the day of Christ Jesus. So I want us to understand this, that spiritual growth is a lifelong process of becoming more and more like Christ. Spiritual growth, it is ongoing. It's not this arrival point that you're like, I'm done. Right? Like, because I tell you what, whenever you have someone's like, I am so spiritually mature, what they've just confessed to you is, I am not. Okay? Like, that's what it means. Like, this is an ongoing, steady progression. It is a journey of transformation, a continued progression. And it's marked by choice after choice after choice to live a life patterned after him instead of patterned after this world. It's to say, I will love you and I will obey you, just like his word calls us to in John 14. If you love me, you'll obey me. If you don't, you won't. And so it is expressed in the way that we yield to his word and we follow his ways. And so when we place our faith in Jesus, the Holy Spirit begins the process of making us more like him, conforming us in his image, hiding our identity in him, and uprooting our old nature and making a new creation. I love how Paul says this in 2 Corinthians 5. He says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has gone, the new has come. And so when we're thinking about spiritual growth, we have to see that when we choose Christ, that we are saying, I am choosing to no longer conform to the patterns of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of our mind. That's what Paul has to say in Romans 12. We allow him to steadily untangle us from the thorny passions of this world and transplant our roots deep into the rich dirt of his love and his grace and his forgiveness. I mean, think about it. It's spiritual growth. Like the word growth, I mean, the metaphor is part of the terminology. Like when things grow, it's because they've been planted somewhere. And so I want us to understand that. They draw up nourishment from a source, and they are steadied by a deep root system. Their growth is evidenced by the fruit. Right? Just follow the metaphor, right? So when I think of spiritual growth, this idea of maturing in our spiritual life and our walk with Jesus, my mind immediately goes to one of my most favorite passages in Scripture, and it's just Colossians 2. Colossians 2, 6 and 7. I'm going to read this to us. Paul is writing to the church, and he says, and now, just as you accepted Christ Jesus as your Lord, you must continue to live in obedience to him. Get this, let your roots grow down into him and draw up nourishment from him. So you will grow in faith, strong and vigorous in the truth you were taught. Let your lives overflow with thanksgiving for all that he's done. Right? Like these verses, they are some of the reason why I believe that every step we take is spiritually formative. Every step we take is spiritually formative. And so, again, if you're taking notes, if we are going to be the church that says, I want ongoing, I want continued, I want flourishing, sustaining growth, spiritual growth in my life, the first truth I want us to grab a hold of is this. Every step we take is spiritually formative. Every step. Every step, even steps backwards, they're going to shape you spiritually. Every step. All of our choices, they impact our spiritual growth or our static stagnation, okay? They're either going to pull us in the direction of Christ or away from Christ. So every step we take is spiritually formative. Think about it. Just your steps this morning. Your choice to get out of bed. Your choice to be prepared to come into these doors, to not just show up, but to lift your voice, to listen, to engage, to say, I want to hear from God today. All of those are choices that are spiritually formative. In the same way, if you made choices to say, I don't want to hear from you today, God, it would shape you spiritually, but it would leave you stagnant. It wouldn't take your heart in the direction of growth. They're all connected, and it's because spiritual formation is movement. There's movement in the distinct direction of Christ and with Jesus. It's towards him and with him. And so the word says we must continue to live in obedience to him. Continue. So I want us to see that there's a trajectory of steps here. There's a trajectory of choices here that when we receive Christ, when we accept Christ, it captures that this rootedness is something done to us, okay? So we walk this journey out. We move forward in the direction that we've already begun. Think of it like this. You guys know how to ride a bike? Right? It's okay if you're like, I don't, and I'm not going to answer that one, right? I made that mistake one time, being like, everybody knows how to ride a bike. And then I picked one guy that I had no idea he could not ride a bike, okay? So I've got to be careful with that. But it's kind of like riding a bike. Like, what happens if you stop pedaling? You're going to fall off, right? Maybe that's where some of us are right now. And we need somebody to pull over and pick us back up. The reality is sometimes what we think is we can just coast for a while because we've pedaled pretty hard in the last season, so let's just coast. That will only last for a while. Moving forward is moving forward in Christ, and Paul is saying you started with Christ, keep moving with Christ, keep growing with Christ, because the Christian life is not standing still. The only way to grow is to stay the course. And Paul uses all these vivid mixed metaphors through his letters. And you see it even in these words. There's like pilgrimage language, there's agricultural, even military. There is construction and classroom and academic language woven in. He says, let your roots grow down into him and draw up nourishment from him so that you will grow strong and vigorous. It doesn't say stay in the sand. It doesn't say let them be shallow. It'll be fine. It doesn't say that. We have to be strong and vigorous. And I want us to hear this. We're not tumbleweeds just floating along. Like, we are like trees that have been planted in rich dirt so that we can grow strong and vigorous. We're built up like a house on a firm foundation. Maybe the question for you this morning, is that how you're living? Like, is that where you're walking? Get your roots in the right dirt and keep them there. Let your roots run deep in Jesus, because I'm certain of this. There's going to be days ahead when the storms come. And where this walk with Jesus, where he leads us to and through, is going to beat you up. And you're going to find yourself with days ahead that those storms might just level you. You're going to find yourself in places where that pain, it takes everything out above ground. And I know, my guess is that many of you, you know pain intimately. Some of us, we are no stranger to the dark places. And for some of us, the sin in our lives, it has made some really big messes. And we've hurt a lot of people and we've hurt ourselves. And it's because we were putting ourselves in the wrong dirt and we were chasing after the wrong things. But some of us, it's just the winds and the waves, the brokenness of this world that has leveled us. If you haven't already, there will be days ahead when storms hit, where there will be stretches where the root system below the ground will only be evident because of the fruit above the ground. And you will be reminded that every step along the way of this Christian journey, what you most deeply need is the King himself. You will always need more of Jesus. And so if we want to be the church that says, I want growth, I want continued flourishing, sustaining growth, here's the second truth I want us to grab a hold of this morning. I shared this with the fellows on Friday night. You will never stop needing Jesus, and you will never start needing him less. This is imperative. Spiritual maturity, it is not about growing out of your need for Jesus, okay? We don't find ourselves needing him less and less over time. The plan is not for you to wean yourself off of him, okay? Spiritual maturity is a daily awareness that apart from him, you can do nothing. Because that's what his word says. That apart from him, you can do nothing. When Jesus is talking in John 15, let me tell you, that's not metaphor. That's literal. And I know that, and I've lived that. So we have to understand that we let our roots grow down into him and draw our nourishment from him so that we will grow in faith, strong and vigorous in the truth that we've been taught. So I want us to hear it this way, that spiritual growth is our response to the all-sufficient provision and power of the Holy Spirit and the Word of God. Like when we receive what he provides, the soil, the nourishment, the sun, the water, when we respond and receive, we grow. That's what happens. So maybe the question for you this morning is, are your roots in that dirt? Is your house being built on that foundation? Is your faith strong and vigorous? And you may ask right now, like, well, Ben, how do I know if I'm on track? How do I know if that's where I'm going? Look at verse 7. If your life is your life, ask yourself this, is my life overflowing with thanksgiving for all that he's done? Ask yourself, if I'm on track, no matter what my circumstances are, is thanksgiving overflowing in my life and from my life? Is it presently, actively, ongoing, spilling out into everything? Can people know that even when your heart is breaking, you are thanking a good God who will put you back together again? That's how we know if we're on track. It's a mark of spiritual maturity and spiritual growth. It's an indicator that we're moving in that direction. But let me tell you, if you are not in that dirt, I would say this. Go back to Colossians 1, just a few verses before, and I want to read them to us. They're not going to be on the screen, but I would say this. Go back just a few verses and fall in love with Jesus all over again, or even for the first time. Let me read these verses to you real quick. I want you to hear this. This is what God's word says about who Jesus is and the dirt we're called to live in. He is the image of the invisible God. He is the firstborn over all creation. For by him, all things were created. Things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities, all things were created by him and for him. He is before all things. And in him, all things hold together. And he is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning and the firstborn from among the dead, so that in everything he might have the supremacy. For God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through his blood shed on the cross. Get in this dirt. And stay there. Because let me tell you, everything good that will unfold in your life, it will come from this dirt. You will never stop needing Jesus. And you will never start needing him less. There's another passage that my heart is instinctively pulled towards when talking and thinking about spiritual growth. And I want to read this to us now. It's 2 Peter. Peter's got a lot of beautiful things to say. And so I'm going to read some of this to us. But as I do, I want us to like listen closely. Words are going to be on the screen. I want you to listen closely for the spiritual growth track, okay, that is described in these verses. Listen for what a well-rounded Christian life is going to look like. Let me read these to us. It says, by his divine power, God has given us everything that we need for living a godly life. We've received all of this by coming to know him, the one who called us to himself by means of his marvelous glory and excellence. And because of his glory and excellence, he has given us great and precious promises. Don't miss that. These are the promises that enable you to share his divine nature and escape the world's corruption caused by human desires. And in view of all of this, make every effort to respond to God's promises. Supplement your faith with a generous provision of moral excellence, and moral excellence with knowledge, and knowledge with self-control, and self-control with patient endurance, and patient endurance with godliness, and godliness with brotherly affection, and brotherly affection with love for everyone. The more you grow like this, the more productive and useful you will be in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But those who fail to develop in this way, they are short-sighted or blind, forgetting that they have been cleansed from their old sins. And so, dear brothers and sisters, work hard to prove that you really are among those God has called and chosen. Do these things, and you will never fall away. Then God will give you a grand entrance into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. If we want sustaining, ongoing, continued, thriving, flourishing, spiritual growth, here's the third truth that I want us to grab a hold of this morning. All you need is found only in Jesus. All you need is found only in Jesus. It says by his divine power, God has given us everything that we need for living a godly life. He doesn't say, I'm going to hook you up with some things and kind of it will hopefully help, right? The gospel needs no augmentation, right? So all you need is found only in Jesus, and I want our hearts resting in that. I want that truth washing over our hearts, because I'm telling you, nothing else is going to satisfy. No other well is going to be deep and full and flowing constantly. Like, it's never, nothing else is going to leave you full or satisfied or complete. Like, nothing else. And I know that our world is completely convincing us, or trying to, committed. Our culture is committed to convincing us that Jesus plus something equals everything. But the reality is, it is Jesus plus nothing equals everything. That's the truth. Because Jesus is source and he is sustainer. He is supreme and he is sufficient. He is all you need to live a godly life. Everything was made by him and for him and through him. And in him all things hold together. And he's called us by his own glory and goodness. Let me tell you, if he can hold all things together, he can hold you together. Jesus is not the secret ingredient to spiritual growth. He is the only ingredient. The key to spiritual growth, it is simple. It is Jesus. Every time, always, only Jesus. We are flawed, sinful, corrupted, broken people in our own human nature. But Jesus is the only means, did you catch those words when we read it, where we can partake of the divine nature. The word says, and because of his glory and excellence, he's given us great and precious promises. And these are the promises that enable us to share, to partake in his divine nature. And that's how we escape the corruption of our own human desires. Have you found yourself looking for other ingredients? Have you found yourself trying to manufacture your own growth in your own power, or maybe trying to expedite your maturity, thinking that you could just pop it in the microwave, right? Instead of put it in a crock pot, right? Like hoping that he would just maybe download these deeper roots and these taller stalks and longer limbs and sweeter fruit. All you need is found only in Jesus, but he's not going to force his growth on you. You decide how you will respond to these precious promises that Scripture speaks of. He enables you to partake, and he invites you to partner. And when we do, we choose to build on the foundation of faith in Christ alone, just like the song we were singing. And it unfolds with moral excellence, and then with knowledge, and with self-control, and patient endurance, and godliness, and it's expressed in all this brotherly love that culminates in loving everybody else well. We choose how we will respond. We choose how he will supplement our faith with all of these things that result in maturity. We have to make every effort, just like his word says. We pursue, we take step after determined step in response to God's promises, because it doesn't just happen. Spiritual growth is active, it's not passive. So maybe a question for you this morning is, how hungry are you for growth? Are you making every effort to respond to his promises? And I know this, and I know you likely know this, that growth is not always easy. It's often painful, and it often happens in dark, difficult moments of dire circumstances. But it's not for nothing. It's worth it. It's worth it, and it is purposed. It is purposeful both in this life and for the next. And that's what leads me to the fourth and final truth I want to set before you this morning for us to grab a hold of. If we want sustained, ongoing, flourishing, thriving spiritual growth, grab a hold of this. Proximity to Jesus produces an eternal perspective. Did you catch verse 11? Do these things and you will never fall away. Then God will give you a grand entrance into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Church, here is not all there is. There is an eternal kingdom that awaits us. And this journey of spiritual growth is leading us somewhere. This eternal perspective is woven so deeply into Scripture all over the place, and it's always tied to proximity to Jesus. Like, that's what I'm getting at when I use language like wayfarer, when I say like a fellow wayfarer. Here's the thing. There's a deal about a wayfarer. By definition, a wayfarer is somebody who chooses to walk by foot, okay? There's no other means or mode of transportation to expedite the journey, right? We walk through the valley of the shadow of death. Doesn't say we run through it, and it definitely doesn't say you set up camp and you stay there. You keep moving, whether you are walking or running or crawling. There's movement in this, but that eternal perspective, it's woven everywhere. It means that this growth, this journey, this life is leading us to the next. And so a wayfaring disciple is a follower of Jesus, living life with an eternal perspective, because home is up ahead. And I think that's why it makes such a beautiful discipleship metaphor. I mean, think about it for a second. Like, I know you don't have as many trees around here. You've got a lot of corn, okay? I'm an Illinois boy. I know, okay? But think of it this way. When you head off into the wilderness, just walk with this metaphor for a second. You head off into the wilderness, whether on purpose or by accident, right? Because it can be both scenarios. Sometimes we're leisurely going on a hike and sometimes we took a wrong turn, right? Not necessarily because we were listening to our spouse or not listening to our spouse, right? Like, sometimes we take wrong turns. What do we instinctively do when we find ourselves in the wilderness? What do we look for? We look for a way through. We look for the evidence of where others have gone before us. We call them trails, right? And they're twists and they're turns around all kinds of different corners, but there is a way through. That is discipleship, the way that we follow Jesus and the way that we walk with one another. Like, the journey of spiritual growth, it matters that we know and trust the one leading us through. So walk closely to the one leading you through, because this journey leads you home. Verse 8 says that the more you grow like this, the more productive and useful you will be in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. This is not a know of and know about. There's an intimacy in this knowing. This is a deep, deep knowledge. This is not surface level. This is your roots running deep. But knowing Jesus and nearness to Jesus and our effectiveness in the kingdom, the fruit of our lives, it is tied to how closely we walk with him. And so my encouragement to you this morning is, choose to walk closely, step after step. Don't settle for just being acquainted with Jesus. Know him. And know that he knows you. A friend of mine, pastor friend of mine, he always says it this way. It's not about faster and further. It's about closer and deeper. So walk closely, walk deeply, and walk the brave way home. because it's brave to choose Jesus and keep choosing Jesus. Verse 9 says, don't be short-sighted. We cannot forget that what we've been saved from and who we've been saved by and what we have been saved for. And I know that it's hard to keep an eternal perspective. I know that it's hard to walk in close proximity because we have so many other things that we think we have to get done. We have so many other invitations and pursuits pulling us away from these precious promises. Our world is filled with all kinds of things that are trying to detour us from this growth track, this journey with Jesus. They're always vying for our allegiance, offering us one more way to sell a little bit more of ourselves to someone other than our King. And life here is just not fair. It's not easy. I'm familiar with pain in this life, beyond my vocabulary. I'm a dad waiting for the day that I get to hold all of my children in my arms again. I know pain, and I know those dark places, they demand that you produce an eternal perspective because you must have Jesus. I refuse to settle for some superficial knowledge. I want to know Jesus. I must have him. So don't settle for the temporary when God gives the eternal. It's just like what Carrie was saying last week, how vital and critical our hope in Jesus is. We have a King who has saved us. He is ruling now and he's coming back for us. We can live in hope because we have a living hope. Proximity to Jesus produces an eternal perspective. We are the church. We're adopted. We're forgiven. We're redeemed. We're rescued. So people of God, grow. Grow. Partner with him in the process. And it will be seen in the way that you worship. It will be seen in the way that you fellowship. It will be seen in the way that you serve and apply his word in your life and share his love. And your spiritual growth, here's the last thing. Your spiritual growth, it is not just about your spiritual growth. It's about everybody else's that you're walking beside. It's about everybody else's because you are fellow wayfarers walking home. These core values, they're going to be seen in your homes, in your marriages, in your businesses, in your workplace, in your relationships. It's going to be seen in the way you coach your kids' team. It's going to be seen in the way that you run your business. It's going to be seen in the way that you structure your home and the way that you fight for purity and guard your heart and lead by example. As we close, I got to tell you, I can't help but think of my own family and our core values. Like we have core values. We literally call them Team Woods Culture Codes, okay? We have Team Woods Culture Codes. And so some of the language that I have shared with you this morning is some of the language that Crystal and I have just tried to instill in our kids, in our family, in our home. Simple, portable language that helps us live on mission together, that helps us know the truth of Scripture, to know the ways of Jesus and the heart of Jesus, and to know that we are loved by Jesus, and for my kids to know how to love others like Jesus. I'm so passionate about it. I mean, we literally, our podcast, we devote a whole season to these things. I'm that geeked out about it, okay? But I tell you that, church, because our spiritual growth is not bound by brick and mortar. It's not bound by brick and mortar. As you go, so goes the gospel. The values of the New Hope family, they aren't just for here. They're for everyone else to taste and see that the Lord is good, right? So bring the New Hope core values into every corner of your life. Let that fruit in your worship and your ways, let it point hearts far from him to walk closely with him. Your fruit will please the one you grow for, and it will evidence his glory. And it'll be seen for all those who are yet to know his love and yet to know his ways and yet to know his promises, because they're waiting to experience them from you. Every step we take is spiritually formative. You will never stop needing Jesus, and you will never start needing him less. all you need is found only in Jesus, and proximity to Jesus, it produces an eternal perspective. Grow in the knowledge and the truth of Scripture. Let your roots run deep and let your lives overflow with thanksgiving for all that He has done, because He is so, so good. Let me pray over you. Father God, I thank you so much for this church family. I thank you so much for the privilege of joining them this weekend. God, would you grow us so that all the people far from you would know how good you are. May you receive all glory, honor, and praise. And may we walk closely with you. It's in the powerful name of Jesus that we pray. And all God's people said, amen.
Let's all stand and sing about God's amazing love. Amen.
You're
couple real quick announcements before we're dismissed. Ladies, tomorrow night is your night. The time to show up is at 6 o'clock. It's going to be a lot of fun, and that is your night. We're just kind of clearing the whole schedule for you, and it's going to be a great time. All ladies, be sure you come tomorrow night for the women's event. And also, a heads up, House of Compassion, because we share the hope of Jesus to our community. That's starting next week for a whole month. You'll know the drill. You pick up a grocery list at the end of the hallway, and let's just bless the House of Compassion and show that there's hope in Jesus. That starts next week as we support them. And lastly, Ben's back there on the table back there. And I tell you, just following Ben, I don't know if he told you, the school assemblies, they're exploding. How many do you, is up in the... Yeah. Oh, there's over 60 school assemblies. We tried to get him in our public school here. His ministry is just taking off. I think he's just... He's hitting a need in the body of Christ. And Crystal, if you haven't listened to the podcast, they're free. They're awesome. And you get Crystal on there, she kicks it up a notch. And I tell you, I have to stop and rewind it and listen to the deep truth again and rewind it. It's one of those podcasts. You'll be blessed if you're driving in your car or it's your devotion. It's free. He'll tell you about it. And also just talk to Ben back there. It's just an awesome ministry that he's doing. Let's pray. Lord, thank you. Thank you for the core values that you have embedded in this church for over 35 years. And Lord, we pray, we want to seek you. We want to have spiritual growth in our lives. We pray over our children as they're growing in the Lord in their environment, and pray over Rooted and all the studies that are going on here. We want to know you more in the power of your resurrection, the hope that you have. So, Father, now our mission is to go be the church wherever we do life. And everyone said, amen. See you next week. Be blessed.